disco.
This ain't no country club neither.
This is RBA.
Welcome back, everybody, to Season 2, Episode 14 of Oh La La in the Dungeon.
It's good to be back once again. I feel like we're on a roll now.
I know. Sorry, guys, I sound like a man, but I live in Virginia and the pollen is real.
But you sound like a sexy man.
Yes, or a... or someone who smokes 20 packs a day.
You sound like Joan Rivers.
You got the Betty Davis eyes.
Yeah.
We have an exciting episode for you guys today. We are interviewing an amazing local Richmond band that I freaking love.
Me as well. What else are we doing? We're talking about some upcoming events. Big Daddy, of course, will be dropping it on us.
And today I'm gonna drop the mishaps of the last Coachella festival. So that should be interesting.
Ooh, all music themed. I like it.
I really love your toppings. Your droppings.
Yes, and as always, restaurants of the week, band of the week. Spoiler alert, they might be here.
No, they might or might not be here. Some amazing events coming up around
Richmond. That's right, that's right. And you know, just a general damn good time.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
So, let's get into it. Who have we got with us today?
Today, we have Charlie and Alex from Flight Club with us today. Not Fight Club, who I thought that's what you were called for the longest time.
It's one of my favorite movies.
They're a four-piece rock band hailing from Richmond. I saw them play at River Rock last year, and they were handing out free stickers to the crowd, and I was blown away by their music. They played an amazing pop-punk cover of Unwritten by Natasha Bedingfield, and after that was hooked, and I stayed for their whole set. I also saw them more recently at the Broadberry when they opened for 408 and We the Kings, which is like... it's a big deal to open for those bands.
It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, and you guys were right on par with them. But anyway, Flight Club can be described by listeners as pop punk. And I would have to agree, but apparently the bandmates don't describe themselves that way. They say their music is more mature than that style of music. So let's learn more about why that is, and let's learn about the band. So thanks for coming on, guys.
Hey, thank you for having us.
For having us here.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Yes, we're glad you could join us. Can't wait to get into it with you.
Yeah.
But first, let's let's talk about our hot topic, shall we?
All right.
And what is the hot topic?
So, Caitlin Clark. I don't know how many people follow sports around here.
Not me.
Not a big sports guy, to be honest with you. Alex and Harry are our resident sports guys.
I'm definitely a big sports guy, but unfortunately basketball is like one of the only ones that I don't follow. So, like,
what the hell?
So we love watching U of R basketball.
Oh, yeah. I watch that. Spider Life.
Yeah, my dad has season tickets, so I think the three of us went to at least like 10 games this past season. And man, the Spiders were really good.
Yeah, they were excellent.
Nice.
As were my alma mater, VCU. Hello, let's give it up for them, too. We only love the Spiders on here. What the heck?
I do.
VCU alumni?
Yes.
Nice, same.
You? Cool. Yep. All right, Rams in the house. What? but yeah, Caitlin Clark, she plays for the WNBA. Well, now she does. She just got drafted. And her salary is raising some eyebrows. To give you an idea, Clark's base salary will be $76,535. But in the meantime, the first draft pick of the NBA will be making roughly $10.5 million in base salary for the same year. Let's discuss.
That's quite a difference there.
Yes.
It's a big difference. Is that 100 times different?
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently also... some of the mascots will actually be making more.
Shut up. No
than
way.
What she's fucking
the
being
female,
paid.
What?
Yeah.
Do the female, the women's team, do they have a mascot? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. It's exactly like.
Is it the same exact price disparity?
Oh, my my God. That's kind of insulting.
No, if a mascot got paid that much, shit, sign me up. I will be a mascot.
We could be good mascots.
Yeah, like I will do, I will learn how to do a round off back handspring.
Yeah.
Okay, so one opinion I have, like maybe it's not my opinion, but something I've heard is like more people watch men's basketball than they watch women's basketball, so that's why the men are making more, and that makes sense to me. But then you were telling me something different before the episode.
Yes, so actually this year, it really sounds like I'm a sports aficionado right now, and I'm not. But this year actually is the first season that the women's basketball has garnered more viewership than men's.
Nice.
Yes.
That's kind of cool.
Girl power.
Woo!
What?
Who run the world?
Girls. If you don't want your systems to crash or anyone to die, we got to be in control.
Well, is it just like this year though, or is it like, will it be consecutive years?
Because we don't know. But the big thing is what people are saying is, you know, in endorsements, yes, the women can kind of catch up. But the biggest difference is for the NBA, the players actually get a cut of like proceeds from ticket sales, advertisements, like stuff like that. Whereas in the WNBA, yes, you can get that, but they put a cap on what they have to meet overall for sales before any of the women see that money. So guess what? They've never reached that cap.
What?
Yeah.
So not only are they, there's a pay gap in the base salary, but they're also a huge gap in what they're getting just for ticket sales. And
yes.
Wow.
Because they're not getting,
their contract and stuff are way different. And it really does like come down to a lot of like the money going in, not necessarily like the viewership. Because like following just like a bunch of sports, I'm sure it relatively translates, but like you'll see this a lot when there's a generational talent like coming through, like Caitlin Clark. There's a lot of people that don't even watch women's basketball or know anything about it, but they know who she is.
Right.
And you'll see the same thing in hockey. Like before Alex Ovechkin, no one knew anything about hockey really in DC, or like other than the fact that we had a team.
Right.
And so like this is the kind of stuff that needs to happen so that people can realize how messed up it is and like start fixing it. So like it might carry over year after year that like the women's like March Madness and everything like outpaces the men's and everything.
Right.
But like this is like kind of exactly what they need, is like a catalyst to like
that's very
make
true.
This happen, because it hasn't happened until now. But
yeah,
all it takes
is
someone like this to put a million eyes on it, and then all of a sudden everyone's aware.
Exactly. And like if she does get all these endorsements, that'll only raise more like visibility towards them. So I think it's a positive.
Yeah, it's kind of like, honestly, like, the scandal of this all is probably a good thing for the WNBA, because they're like, yeah, isn't that crazy? Y'all should watch some basketball, you know? I'm also curious if, like, the viewership or the endorsement, like, I made the comment about being, like, 100 times more than her salary. Is the viewership, the endorsement, whatever, is that 100 times more than the WNBA? Because, like, then, okay, maybe it's not as crazy as it sounds, but I don't know. That's where I would start to look.
Well, yeah, because she's up for, like, signing a deal with, I don't 100% say this is the right company, but I believe it was Nike. And
I think I saw that, too.
And it is up in, like, the double digits in millions for that. So
nice.
I think that's on par. So hopefully that in it of itself will raise awareness. Have you guys heard about Brittany Griner? Like, she was the woman who got detained in Russia.
Oh,
right, yeah.
Yeah, just for like a small ass weed pen.
Scary.
For like a year or two.
You guys have to be careful.
But the whole reason that she was playing out of the country, which a lot of women do on the off season, as well as men. I actually have a friend whose husband has played over in Europe like since high school. And they
That's
make,
awesome.
Yeah, they make pretty good money.
Oh, your friends. Elizabeth.
I know. But anyway, she said the whole reason she plays in Europe is because they get so much more money over there.
Wow.
Than here.
Yeah. It's more like a hot commodity over there. Whereas like here, it's like it's easy to get lost in like the subdivisions of leagues because only the major one is making money.
And yeah.
They companies that invest in it do their best to keep it that way.
Right? Well, I think the overall take maybe is that this is a good thing because it's bringing more publicity.
Yeah, it's definitely bringing more attention to the WNBA.
Yeah, so
more
I
people
think,
are watching it.
Yeah,
maybe we need to and the thing create is, some it, more drama every year.
It's yeah. not really an issue with the WNBA. It's an overall issue. There's a huge disparity between you know, men and women's salaries, even though they have the same job.
Well, yeah, I mean that's basically everywhere in the United States. Yeah. Sorry, guys, but I mean this is like a case study on a bigger point. Obviously, like we all should recognize this, but. Fuck.
It's like it's wild to see because like here is a good point. Like it is like realistically everywhere, but it's wild to see it even in like entertainers and stuff like that because you feel like there's a level of like I don't know, like it's entertainment. It brings in so much money, so it's wild to see it on that level too. You'd think it almost like even the playing field a little bit, but apparently not.
Yeah, because I mean I feel like people would assume like oh you're a professional like you're rolling in the cash. Stop complaining, honey.
Nope.
But
guess not.
You could be rolling in a hell of a lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's the main problem. Is like no one's gonna complain about making $700,000 a year, but like when you see someone who is of the same quality, if not worse even in Caitlyn's case, because like literal
she's like
the generational
goat now.
Talent
yeah.
of like her, like year versus like someone who's kinda like I would argue a lot of people couldn't even name who the number one pick in the end like the
I can't.
Men's NBA draft is this year that doesn't follow it. And this person's about to make like exponentially more money, just guaranteed, than she is.
Yeah. Yep. And that's not counting endorsements either. Which,
yeah, like it's just gonna
rookie
be
of the year
thing.
Usually is going to get a pretty good, at least,
right.
initial endorsement from somewhere.
Yeah.
You Nike, clothing, something.
You run a Subway ad or something like
yeah,
that. You know?
Yeah, yeah. They don't have Jared anymore, so they got to go somewhere.
Yeah, something. Pick it up, Subway.
Eat fresh. Pay
also,
us more.
Flight Club is available for any and all advertisements. Hit our line at.
All right, so I think we've pretty much fried that hot topic. Girls are better than boys, right?
Absolutely.
We deserve more money.
For years.
Give me money. Give me money. Okay, so the first interview question is always this one. Are you from Richmond? If not, where and what brought you here?
So, we are from kind of all over the Virginia, Maryland area. Alex and I are cousins, and our family is cool. from Ooh. Southern Maryland. I moved to Virginia when I was really young, and then eventually went to VCU for college, so brought me to Richmond. I'm coming up on I'm 9 years in. This New Year's will be my 10-year anniversary.
That's awesome.
I'd say it's official year of Richmond.
I think so, right? I'm always afraid to claim
that. I'm on my 8-year.
Nice. Yeah. All right, we'll have to celebrate. We'll celebrate. and then Sam is from Amherst, 2 hours west of here, and Harry's the most our drummer. Harry's the most local. His family grew up in
actual,
Chesterfield,
like, Richmond, like yeah,
the greater Richmond area.
Okay,
but he went to college in West Virginia, so he's a traitor.
Traitor.
No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, we've been here for a while. We've almost been a band for 10 years, actually. So we're definitely like a Richmond band for sure. But us as like people have like come from a little bit spread out in the area.
Yeah, have I'm you the only one that came here just for the band.
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow, that's dedication.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up in Maryland, and he had already been in Flight Club for a little bit, and I played in a band in high school that played shows with Flight Club a couple times and ended up filling in with them. And their bass player left, and then they were like, we need one. And I was like, well, I guess I'm moving to Richmond now.
Opportunities.
And the rest is history.
Yay.
Yeah. Silas?
Oh, well, I was going to say, since you're cousins, like, did you do, like, the whole, okay, this is probably too old for you guys, but, like, perfect strangers, two cousins living together?
You
single
know
in the city?
We did a little bit, but it was with a lot more people, and it was, like, more of a circumstantial okay. like, type of thing.
Yeah, before Alex, like, full-on moved to Richmond, we had a house. We called it Fort Doom. It was
nice.
The spot. And we had, like, it was five of us living there, and then Alex would take like the couch when he would have to have these extended trips to do band stuff, you know. And then Alex moved down with a buddy of his and some friends, and then so we like kind of lived together at the fort. And then when my lease ended there, I like stayed at his spot for a couple of months before I got my other spot. But we never did the like, we always thought we were going to end up in like Ocean City for a summer or something like that. And just
you
want to
do like a little yeah, Jersey Shore, similar, like a mini yeah, Jersey like... Shore.
Yeah, exactly. But it never ended up working out that way. But we've always lived like pretty close. Like there was a while we were both living in Carytown. We lived a block from each other. Yeah. Now we live in the Museum District, again, like two blocks from each other.
Just
so we like to keep
it farther
close.
And farther.
Yeah.
One block at a time.
Okay, so how did you two both get into music? You said you went to, like, you grew up together, went to high school together. How did that
happen? Well, so I moved out of Maryland when I was really young. So we, like, have always been pretty distant, like, geographically, but we'd hang out all the time. Obviously, like, family stuff, but we would just travel just to hang out. But our parents, both of our dads are musically inclined, and it's funny because... We switched. His dad plays guitar, my dad plays bass, and now for the band, I play guitar, and he plays bass.
But I bet you guys can play either or, right?
Yeah, they're kind of like two peas in the pod, kind of. Yeah. There's nuances, but...
Actual bass players will tell you different, and I'm not one of them. So, like, I can't speak on it too much.
Yeah, Alex's first instrument was electric guitar, electric or acoustic, and then picked up the bass as the need arose and has now grown to be a great bass player.
Nice.
That's awesome.
So, did your dads play in bands?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what was your dad's band? Your dad had a cool band.
What was the... I can't remember what the name
it was. Like Sucker Punch?
I think it was something else before that. And then they switched to Sucker Punch. It was fun. My dad basically built out our garage to be a venue almost. Because we both played in bands, it just kind of made sense for that to be the hub for like my high school band to practice and for his band to practice. Mm-hmm. So like everyone just had their gear there. Like we had like... full monitors, like a bunch of mic stands, like a tree of like everyone's guitars that practiced there.
I bet your dad loved it too, but he was like so proud.
It was the best. It was so much fun. I would just come home from school and I would just start like wailing on drums for hours, and then I wouldn't even hear him get home, but he would come home and then open the door and just start playing guitar, and we would just start playing songs. And it was
very cool.
So much fun.
Like the Partridge Family.
Yeah, I think they played in bands like pretty much like all their lives. Like my dad, I have a photo of my dad at like 14, like playing out in bars that he wasn't even allowed to be in. I think primarily played in like cover bands. I don't think played in too many original music bands.
My dad, when he like first started, was playing in like a fully original band called Cheap Date. And that was like what he played like through the 80s and stuff. And there's
also
a bunch of photos of them.
80s band name.
Damn, these band names are really good. Next time we form one, I'll be calling y'all.
Yeah,
right?
Call their dads.
Exactly. Yeah.
That could be the name of the band.
Yeah.
Call their dads.
Yeah. I'm on that one.
It should be an all girl punk band.
Yes.
Call their dads.
That is sick.
Okay. So, what is your songwriting process as a band? Like, who does the lyrics? How does that all work?
It's really crazy. Just a lot of arguing is all it is. Really.
No two songs come together the same, really.
Yeah, really. It's like it's different almost every time, just because we've all grown up writing. Like when I played in my first band, I wrote all the music for it. When Charlie played in his first band, he wrote all the music for it. When Sam started this band, he wrote all the music for it. The only one that hasn't really like taken that approach ever until now is Harry, the drummer. And so Harry will like get overwhelmed almost trying to explain ideas because he doesn't play any other instrument than drums.
It's so endearing though, because he'll come up and be like, okay, listen, like it goes like this. And he'll like piece it out. And then Sam will like sit down, they were roommates for a while, so Sam will sit down and like they'll piece it together. And like,
that's crazy.
And Sam's like transcribing this idea.
Yeah, and it's awesome. I like have such a harder time like just hearing sounds and being like, this is what he means. Whereas like Sam is like kind
that
of like
so
a tune.
He's a translator.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's like the interpreter.
Yeah.
But yeah, so sometimes like one of us who play like melodic instruments, and like even Harry when he's like voicing out like, oh, it goes like we'll like a lot of it will be one of us will come up with an idea, and you know, sometimes like I'm a little bit more of the type to like write out like almost a full-fledged song and bring it to the guys and be like, this is kind of where I saw it, and then we'll just like pick away at it until it's better and better and better. Sam will write like an entire instrumental song and rewrite it and rework it, and like really, like really talented at that. And then we just jam it and just like workshop it and just kind of massage it until we're like, wait, think this is
it's like it. I think if we do anything else, we're gonna mess it up.
But a lot of times we will work a song like until we're in the studio and we'll be like, wait, what if after the chorus we had this, and we're just like, yeah, it feels good. We're in the studio.
Yeah,
let's put
here.
It down.
We're here.
And there's no
good.
Going back, you know?
That's funny. That's cool that all of y'all, like, go through, a creative process and all contribute.
Yeah.
Like
it's nice. It's sometimes it's, like, too many cooks in the kitchen, but the cool thing about it is by the end of it, you know, we get to a spot where we'll be like, oh man, like, that was a great idea that you had. And they go, I didn't make that. So-and-so made that. And they're like, wait, did we? And so the song stopped becoming like, oh, this is Alex's song. This is my song. And it just becomes like, it's a Flight Club song. Who knows?
Yeah, you right. know?
So I like that aspect of it by
That's
the end
really
of it.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Would you say all of your musical tastes are kind of the same, or are you all bringing different perspectives, and how do you work that? Because I know there's a little bit of like a talk about like pop punk versus rock. Like,
right.
What, you yeah. know what I mean? Like, so how do you also like, kind of decide which way you're gonna go?
Yeah, it's well, it's like a there's a common thread, right? Like, we really got started like in the Richmond like pop punk scene, right? We loved bands like Story So Far and 4 Year Strong and like State Champs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, grew up listening
State
to like bands
Champs.
Like All Time Low and We the Kings yeah. and stuff like that. And so that's like really where we started. And then when I met Sam, his take on the band, he was like, yeah, it's like blues rock meets pop punk. And I said, that sounds dumb. And then I heard it and I said, that sounds really cool, actually. and so like, we have this thing where we like try to, it's like we're, sometimes we feel like we're over-seasoning. We want to do a little bit of everything. On the full length we put out 2 years ago, like there's like a couple like punk songs, and then there's just like a kind of grooving like rock song. And then there's like a funky kind of like pop song, you know? And at the end of the day, I think we just love music. We love all kinds of different music, and we want to encompass everything. It's hard to do that, you know, but we're gonna try, you know.
Especially because we do have like relatively different tastes. Like, yeah. I think you and I are the most similar out of all of it. And I think that's just comes from like growing up and
cousins.
Sending each other bands all the time and
yeah. dads
getting
know
into
other.
The same stuff.
Yeah.
But like
yeah.
if it were up to Sam, we'd basically be a hardcore band with clean vocals. If it were up to Harry, we'd be like a psychedelic rock band. And
you guys
say it's like all just like, yeah, we just kind of try to take a little bit of everything so that all of us like have that enjoyment out of like what we like to listen to in our music as well. But
yeah.
we definitely like have to pull together some stuff a little bit, because we
yeah.
do listen to just a ton of different music between the four of us.
Yeah. It's fun being able to have that variety, because otherwise we'd get bored too, you know? And like you made the comment earlier about like, definitely can be described as pop punk, but some of the guys don't. And you're absolutely
yeah.
right. But the thing is like, I know where we started from. And
I was
like,
right.
Yeah.
I just want to say that.
Yeah. We know where we started from. And like, I never, like, the idea of us like trying to incorporate these other sounds is like never like a diss on like, you know, pop punk or our roots. Like, we're actually getting ready to play this really cool pop punk fest at the Camel in July.
Oh,
July 6th.
Yes. I'll be gone.
Come hang out. Bar Down Breakdown.
Here.
Yeah, yeah. Come hang out. It's going to be sick. A lot of really cool bands. And like, we love, and like, you know, for that, because we have so many different songs, our sets are always get to be different, right? So for that song, we're going to come out with the fast ones. You know what I mean? We're going to come out with the ones where we're like, hey, push somebody, you know?
Yeah.
And then for other shows, you know, we could like, you know, play some cool chill out, like outside backyard thing and be like, all right, let's play some of the more like reserved songs and like hang out and like make it
right.
like a summer like fun vibe, you know? So, you know, just trying to take all the taste and give you one tasty spoonful of music
I
soup.
Like it.
And that's
yes.
what makes an album great, when not every song sounds the same, when it has
right.
some variety.
Yes.
I like a journey.
Yeah,
honestly.
Dynamics,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
yeah, it's, you get your peaks, you get your valleys, you just feel good.
Exactly.
You know?
It's like life.
Yeah.
Okay, one thing I'm really curious to know, and this is like it's not related to the other questions. I saw you open for 408 and We the Kings.
Yeah.
How did you make that happen? Like, did they contact you?
No, it's the beautiful people over at the Broadberry. We've been lucky. We've played, well, there was a time where we said we played every venue in Richmond. You know, we were lucky enough to like early in the career, we got to play this local showcase at the National even, which was awesome.
Wow, that's awesome.
We played a lot of shows at Canal Club. They really helped us get our start. And then we started diversifying, put Richmond Music Hall, Broadberry. We got to play that Browns Island show for River Rock.
Yeah.
And we just made friends with some of them, and they were nice enough to just, they'll send us some opportunities. And like, I think it's gotten to the point now where we can, even if we see something, there's no local spot, we'll be like, hey, what do you think? What do you talk to them? And like, maybe we can get on that. And I'll be like, yeah, you guys would be a great fit. So I think for that one, I think that one of the guys maybe saw that it was coming through. I think Sam saw that it was coming through.
Yeah, I think so.
And was like, it's a two-band bill. What do you think the odds are? And we're like, yeah, maybe. And then I think Harry ran into our friend who works there and like on a run or something. And, wow. Or they were walking their dog.
It's
and
crazy how like, things just happen.
Hey, like, what do you think about this? And they were like, yeah, I'll talk to them. They got us on it. And then guess who we met there? Olivia,
the most famous person in Richmond.
Yeah, and now we're here.
So full circle moment.
Yeah, it's one of these things where like sometimes life throws you a line, and if you're like aware of it and you can grab onto it, like you know, I was maybe a little even hesitant. It was a Monday night show. Like I hadn't, like no offense, We the Kings. I hadn't been listening to We the Kings. You know what
Since
I mean?
Since forever ago.
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
Middle school.
But you know what? We grabbed onto it. It was a great show. All the bands played great. We had a great set. We met you, and like now we're here. And
you sounded amazing.
Thank you.
Oh, so good.
We love playing the Broadway. Sound guy Alex kills it there every time.
Yes.
So do you think that was like the biggest band that you've opened for, or have you opened for bigger bands?
That's a good question. They're definitely up there. I'm trying to think of like the what maybe the most people we've played to and like what that show would be.
I think the biggest show that we've played in an opening slot would probably be that Microwave show, maybe.
Yeah, but I think
maybe one of the 4 year strong shows, I would say.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I feel like We the Kings, they have this like legacy about them that I kind of hadn't considered like with that question actually. So. That was a pretty, like, I guess I would say that they, like, okay, if we're judging based off of, like, legacy, full career, that might have been,
that might
actually.
Be, yeah, but I was thinking just purely, like.
Like, how many people were there?
Yeah, that's true. Two different things.
Yeah. And
it's
to
like
be fair,
the
it was a Monday
NBA
night.
It was a Monday night, too.
Well, the Microwave show was a Tuesday night.
But the Microwave show was a Tuesday, and it sold out, so it's like.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would say as far as, like, who has the best legacy, maybe them, yeah, actually. I'll keep thinking on it.
Yeah, they do have a legacy, which is funny, because they have, like, no hating on them. I mean, I love them.
Yeah.
They have, like, 4 big hits.
Yeah.
Or 3 or 4.
Yeah, well, they encapsulated an era, I think, you know? Like, they were a big player in this, like, really specific era. And I feel like all the bands in that like scene or time,
yeah.
They're
yeah.
all, you know, Fall time goes Boy on, you and... know. Well, that's the one that they kept up the course. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Stadiums.
That's true.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, even
they're
like,
grinded.
I feel like the second biggest one, other than like, I wouldn't necessarily include My Chemical Romance because they were more in like the emo scene. But like, you know, it's something like All Time Low or something. Like, they were probably the biggest in that We the Kings, like Warped Tour scene. And they're, you know, I'm sure they're playing really big shows, you know what I mean? But like, you know, it's not.
They're not
like,
as relevant because the culture has changed. Like, people aren't.
Exactly,
yeah. Everyone was into it back then.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah.
The good old days.
So now it's all like. Girl rap that's, I'm not really that into.
Well, it's really interesting to see the like pop punk revival, right, with like all of the like Travis Barker projects that he's been part of, Machine Gun Kelly, and like even like Willow Smith had that like killer out of all of them. I think the Transparent Soul, the Willow Smith song, that in my opinion was the best of the like new age pop punk one.
Yeah,
Olivia
like
Rodrigo
artist doing like a pop punk feature with like Travis Barker I feel like that's my favorite too, I think.
Yeah. And then you have like artists like Olivia Rodrigo, who like that's kind of like her whole thing right now. And like, she didn't really come from like a DIY standpoint, but you know, she tried to embody that like kind of punk energy. And you know, for better or for worse, you know. But we covered one of her songs. We covered "Brutal" by her. We were like, that riff rocks. We like it. We're gonna play it.
Well, I think that's the cool thing about music. Like, there's almost like, why do we have to pigeonhole it to a genre at this point and say that? Because I mean, we have like Beyonce dropping a country album,
which rocks.
I was about to say it. Like, there's a whole lot of like little like sub like conversation points in that album with like different older artists talking about genre itself, like mixed into the album, and that whole thing is so good.
And it just shows like music just, it comes all from the same place.
Yeah,
like
the heart.
Yeah.
Or like a Negro spiritual, I'm just saying.
The 1975 dropped that record, and it the first track they dropped off of it was that like punk song People, you know? It's like we're just like
Yeah, just like immediate like raspy, like aggro vocals just right into it. I was like, whoa. Okay.
We were like, wait, what? What music video? He had like, he looked like almost like Marilyn Manson or something. You know what I mean? It was such a left hit. And like the rest of the album didn't sound like that, but they were just like, hey, we wrote this like kind of punk song. We're going to put it out first and get the people shook, you know?
Right?
I love that. You know, as like a band, as like someone who plays in a band who like could maybe do a little bit of delay stuff and kind of sound like the 1975, like we couldn't pull a big transition like that. But the fact that they were like, we have the audience, we can put out whatever we want. We're going to put that one out. Very cool, you know?
I was going to say, how has your stance on like promoting and also releasing changed over, you know, like the last decade? Because like you're saying, there's so many people like pre-releasing, like doing like, and you're talking about you guys are going to be dropping a song a month. Like, how have you changed your approach? How do you feel like the space has changed overall?
Yeah. Well, for like, whether it's misinformation, trying to be cooler than we are or whatever, like our big thing for a long time was like, it was EPs, right? Everyone was putting out EPs.
Right.
And then, you know, with Spotify, singles became a little bit more prevalent. It was really big for us when we dropped that full length. It just felt like a huge stepping stone for any artist, especially when, you know, we got to print it on vinyl and to hold it and be like, oh, how is this us? They did it. They figured it out. They've been doing it for decades, you know, like how did they do that? And to hold it is really cool.
Yeah.
And now I feel like, you know, promotion for us back when the album was coming out, we did a lot of, we worked with like a PR company. We set up some cool like features and interviews and like just tried to like get, I guess, publication, you know, so that we were more like Googleable, especially with a name like Flight Club.
Right.
Yeah. A little bit hard to find us, unfortunately. And so now we did that and we took it a step back and just said like, what's next for us? Do we try to tour more? Do we write more? Do we want to put out another album? And where we landed on is just like, let's just put out singles. Like, I don't know necessarily if there's a demand for a full length right now. We've been writing, we have a catalog, a backlog of songs that just kind of never got the light of day because it didn't fit the collection that we were trying to do.
Right.
So we just said, well, let's just finish a song and put it out. Why not? You know, we're independent again. So we have the opportunity to say like, we're not trying to appease anybody. Put a song, put it out. If people like it, awesome. If they don't, we got another one coming to you in a month, you know, like, and so that's, it's been, I think, like revitalizing for us because that's kind of how we started doing things when we like first started a band. And it works because of like Spotify release radar and stuff like that. It helps us to gain some new listeners, helps to gain some attraction. It gives us something to talk about. We're not great at like promoting ourselves, but when we have a thing to be like, hey, we put out a song, what do you think of it?
Then it comes kind of like easier.
Yeah.
Like it helps that Spotify is kind of built for that now, like what you're saying, but I feel like we had a bad habit before of just making and treating every song like it was the one.
Yes.
Just doing big budget music videos, doing like all of this different stuff, like hitting up all these different places for like promotional stuff and everything, instead of just like, we're happy with this, we hope you are too, here you go.
Right.
Like, let's let it fall into who it is supposed to fall into. Let's stop trying to like funnel it to people that we think it belongs
to. You're
like,
they'll find us.
Yeah, and so like, just like an overall better attitude, because when you put that much effort and that much time and money into it, it's much easier to get disappointed when it doesn't happen.
Right.
And so it's just like kind of a long-winded thing of saving us headaches of like not putting an insane amount of effort into something just because we think it's the one. And then also it kind of saves us on the other end where we just get to do more like constantly and just constantly be like creative and do different things because it doesn't have to fit one big mold and it doesn't have to be the thing for us anymore. Like we can just write songs that we want to write and put them out and let them latch on to the circles of people that will find it.
I was gonna say it's kind of like the Wild Wild West. Like there are no rules. Yes. Yeah. So like just, now it's great. Like it doesn't matter. Like I don't think there should be, like I was saying, like genres or anything like that, because like that doesn't apply.
Yeah.
You listen to what sounds good to you.
And there's so many avenues to find it. There's TikTok and there's so many ways.
Yeah. It's definitely, it's changed. It's always changing and you got to kind of get with it. We complain about not wanting to film like kind of like cringy TikToks or anything like that, but it's like, you know what? Like, it's a free promotional thing. It could be fun. We love doing music videos. Like,
you can blow up pretty quickly on
exactly,
there
too. Exactly. Yeah. Mm. And you know, there's a band, they're defunct now, but this pop punk band from here called Centerfolds. Tommy, their singer, I got to shout out him because he said something to me once. Like, I never got into like SoundCloud rap, but he was like, dude, SoundCloud is the new punk rock. He was like, dude, people are on there becoming like famous off of like a SoundCloud demo. They paid no money to record and they're getting millions, and like these record deals are coming to them being like, we'll sign you for whatever. And they can say, no, I'll make more money doing this on my own, you know?
It's insane.
And I don't need anyone to tell me what to do.
Really good point. And so like now, like with the TikTok era, it's kind of like the next wave of that, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I would say one last thing. You had made a comment about like, oh, like instead of thinking like this is the one, that was a thing we would always, it was always like kind of like tongue in cheek, you know? Anytime we had a release, a music video, right, a show, you know, we'd be like, all right guys, like this is the one, like, you know, mostly joking. But now like that has become a meme for us where we're like, we'll play like a show that like, you know, is not obviously gonna be the show or like whatever. We'll be like, all right guys, you ready? This is the one.
Yeah, it's like right before we play, we're just like, all right, this is the one, break. Yeah.
And so like not having that pressure, I think allows you to just create more freely, and that's what it's all about.
True dent.
Okay, so we already talked about your I was going to ask what your next goal is, but it's to release a song a month now.
Yeah, that's the loose goal.
Yeah.
We're doing pretty good right now.
I feel like studio time and a song that's done a month is more realistically like what we mean by that, because putting out a song takes a while in its own, like just like submitting it even after it's fully done.
Right.
What's that process like?
You can put it up to Spotify, and then it's at least like 2 weeks before that's even out.
Their playlist curators can listen to it and decide if you're going to make it to this playlist. And then the thing is with that, it's like they want close to like a month. And then they say that as long as you put it out 2 weeks before, you'll get put on your release radar. And that's where all your followers, it'll pop up in their little release radar, and they'll go through. And that has been probably our biggest like source of new listeners. So it's very important. Like we kind of have to play by those rules, you know?
At least like the short end one. Like yeah, that specific one. Like everything else is kind of like give or take, depending on how much time we have with each project at this point.
Yeah. And it's also like, you know, everyone focuses on the like writing and the recording aspect of it, which takes time to write, takes time and money to be in the studio. But then you also have to say, like, how do you package this song? Like, are you doing, like, what is the artwork going to look like? Are we paying for someone else to, like, are we going to collab with another artist and have them do it? Or do we want to, like, take a camera out in the backyard and, like, take a photo of you smashing something and just, like, call that the album? And trying to find that happy medium of, like, we love, finding artists that we love and want to work with them. You know, some of our favorite merch designs happen just because we'll reach out to people and be like, yo, your art rocks. Like, can we do a shirt together? And they're like, what do you want? And we're like, whatever you got. Like, we just like you, you know?
That's cool.
So that takes time. And I think that's one of our biggest holdups is we'll sit on a song for too long. We'll kind of like be like indecisive about artwork. And then when it's finally together, we're like, oh, and we have to wait these 2 weeks to even get it out.
Right.
So now, like, it's been an exercise for us to be like, every song doesn't have to be perfect. Write what's natural and then put it out. And like we have one coming out that should hopefully come out at the end of this month or early next month. And like I'm just noodling around on Photoshop. You know, I took this old photo that I had from years ago, throwing some like playing with like the light, adding some like the song title and everything, trying to add texture to it. And then eventually we'll be like, yeah, it's good enough. Let's put it out. You know, and that's cool because then you get the experience with like the DIY aspect from start to finish. It's all in-house.
You're like, that's cool. My baby.
Yeah, yeah. But it's time consuming. And when you're working, you know, it can be like another job sometimes. While it's fun and it's rewarding, and sometimes you're like, I am beat. Can I pay someone to do this?
I feel like you guys have no time. Like you have full-time jobs and you're doing the full-time band. Like, right, I don't know how you guys have time to do anything else.
Yeah. I mean, I feel bad for like some of my friends. I feel like there's been a lot of like, hey, we should hang out. We have a show coming up. You should come. And like, part of it is like, it like is a little bit self-promoting because we do have to get people there. But a big part of it is like, hey, I'm sorry. I'm really busy. I would love to have you here and we can hang out at the show and listen to music and have a good time. And I think all of our like friends who like get hit up for those things are very receptive to it. So we're really appreciative of them consistently supporting us and showing up. You know, it means the world for real. So thank you guys. I love you.
Yay! Besides the releasing of not albums, but songs a month, do you have any other goals?
Or shows coming up?
Yeah,
plenty of shows. I think goal really is we just gotta get better at like the stuff that we don't enjoy doing, I guess. It's like we look at a lot of like the media, like sharing and stuff, just as a whole task in itself, because it's not really us. Like we don't really indulge in that stuff a lot, so it's like a bit, it's not like a reach, it makes it sound like so much more dramatic than it is. It's literally just like sharing content and stuff, but like it feels just like such a strange foreign thing to us, because
you wouldn't do it like on your own.
No, we would never be doing it really. I might not even have like an Instagram if we're for a band. Right. Like everything on my Instagram is literally just photos of our band playing. So like having to go this whole extra mile where it's just like you're talking to people that you can't see and you don't know how they're going to resonate with or interact with, like I have a hard time with, and I feel like some of the other guys in the band do. So that's just something we're actively trying to get better at, is just being more like socially interactive online like, and stuff.
Kind of like having a consistent voice. I think as it grows, you know, as we improve our presence, we'll probably have more interaction, and that's where the funnel come in, right? Where we're like, we have our like angle of social media, and then once people start interacting with it, we'll be like, oh, this is fun, because now I get to talk to people and like have this shared experience. But when we're like trying to figure out what we like and what sticks, it's this very like we're throwing it out to the void and we'll get some likes and a couple comments, and we'll be like, all right, and we got to do that again.
We are going through that too. We try our best.
Those like things used to get in the little like 25 cent things where you would get it out of the little machine and you'd like throw it against the wall and actually see like if it will make it all the way down or like up or whatever. Like
it's so time consuming.
It is. Yeah. And it takes away from like the thing that you want. Like we would like to just be writing and releasing music and like playing some shows. And I like connecting with people in those ways, but it's like when you have to like consistently come up with like a bit to do it, it's like, well, I'd rather take that focus and like write you a new song, you know.
It's like necessary because you have to reach your audience.
So I think getting better at that is like an internal one, and then just like, you know, we've done a decent job at being a Richmond band, but I think that we can continue to reach new audiences in Richmond. So expanding our reach in Richmond primarily, but also just like regionally, you know, I think we used to do these tours where we would go, you know, we've gone as far as we've played Canada a couple times. We've gone down to Florida, we've gone as far as Texas and Kansas, you know, but it's like we do it once a year, if that. So it's like these people are like, this is great, I would love to see you again. And you're like, good luck, buddy. We'll see you in a year, maybe, you know? And so I think another thing we've talked about recently is like, we're going to start playing shows out of town again, but we're going to do it smaller scale, but more consistently, you know, trying to go up to Baltimore, Philly, DC, maybe North Carolina, maybe the occasional trip like down and up the coast, but in a way where we can be like, hey, did you like the set? Guess what? We already know when we're going to be back here. So come out then, you know, I think that it'd be easier to connect with people on the road that way.
Craziest or funnest road story?
Ooh.
I mean, just scroll through and pick a day on Warped Tour. That was nice. Like, any of those really were crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like some specifically, like maybe like Milwaukee, where they do like the PBRBQ. It's like a whole barbecue sponsored by PBR.
Ooh. Oh, so yeah. I guess.
Those are like... A lot of the barbecues after Warped Tour are like fun and crazy, but that one specifically is like, even the people that don't go out they're all there. Like everyone is there, like going nuts, having a good time.
So to add on to that, we worked Warped Tour a few years, and it's kind of how we met our current drummer, Harry. And that was the time of our lives. We had the summer where we got a 16 passenger van and put eight people in it. And we lived eight people in a van for the length of a summer.
Down by the river.
Yeah, it was. Well, down all over the damn United States, man. It was crazy. We'd have these like overnight drives where we're like, there's rows in the van, but it was one of these ones where it was, instead of being like the row all the way on the end and the one full size bench, it was two seater benches with a row in like the third through it, and then a single seat on the other side. So you would have someone sleeping in the row, and then people's legs spanning over top of them.
How did you sleep? I could not sleep like that.
Well, the thing is like you're out in the sun all day, every day, talking to hundreds of people, because we were volunteers, and the thing was help out with catering. You'll get to come in and you can make money by selling your CDs. We'll allow you to sell your CDs in there. It was great. Great promotion. We went from probably like maybe under 1,000 Instagram followers, maybe 1,000, to like 3,000. You know what I mean? Like,
that's great.
We did great out there. But you know, that man, we were sweating.
Exhausted.
You know?
Like, so we got in that van. Strapped to the top of
crashed.
That van.
Yeah.
So hopefully, Liz and I reach that point this week.
I know,
not
right?
Sleeping.
Yeah, we ain't sleeping.
So I'd say that was probably like that summer is probably like the most like unforgettable, like crazy summers of my life.
That's
you know?
Like, that's fun. The summer of 16.
Yeah.
It's always memorable, those kind of times where you're like exhausted and like you're doing what you love, but also you're hating it at the same time. But then you like years back, you look back and you're like, oh, that was a great time. What is the most difficult part about being in the band? And I can already probably guess the social media aspect, right?
Yeah, I would say like just I love pretty much all aspects of it, even the social media, even the stuff we don't want to do. But I just think like knowing where to take it next. You know, we've been doing it for a while, and for some people, it's different goals than others, and just trying to say like, hey, like, what do you want to do? Do you want to play more shows out of town? Do you want to do this? Like, what's gonna help us at the end of the day, and in a way that's I think authentic to ourselves, and not just like, well, this is popular, so we should probably do that, you know?
Yeah.
There's so many like just routes and avenues to take now, and like it's really not like a one size fits all thing anymore. Like it used to be. Like we were talking about our dads, like in the 80s playing music, and like, for them, it's just like all you wanted was a record deal. Whereas like now, it's like, do you even want a record deal? Like I don't know what to do anymore. Like I don't know like what warrants success, basically.
Yeah. You have
to
have like a brand strategy, and like people, like Gen Zers can smell like unauthenticity a mile away.
Yeah, right.
So you can't force it.
Yeah, you can't. Like you have to be authentic, but at the same time, you have to be a band and a brand. And like not everyone feels that way about music. And it's kind of funny. It's almost a little bit backwards. Like a lot of the bands that I feel like that end up making it to that point are the ones that want that the least.
Yeah.
Like I'm a big fan of the Strokes are my favorite band, and like a little bit farther removed from like the same like technological age that we're talking about. But their first record deal was literally a group in the UK. And I think the only reason they chose that out of the massive amounts of money they would get here or anywhere is because that's the only one that didn't ask them to do music videos that they had to be in, because they were just like, I just want to play music. I don't want to be seen. I don't want to be like this person.
Yeah, right?
Like, I just want to play the music that I like to do, and I want to make a living off of it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
And
before we wrap it up, we want to know, how can we support you? Any upcoming shows coming up? Where can we find you?
Absolutely. Yeah. So all of our handles across every social media is Flight Club VA, flight with an L, not the movie or the book. Flight Club VA for Virginia, because we're from Virginia and we're not the shoe store from New York. Flight Club VA. We got a couple shows coming up in May. Actually, we have two. Both of them are going to be announced very shortly.
Ooh.
But they're not out yet. So May, you're in the first insider scoop here.
Sweet.
Yeah, May 16th is a Thursday, and May 31st is a Friday. It's going to be two great shows. We got new music coming. So do us a big favor. Go to our Spotify or Apple Music. Hit that follow button, and you'll be the first to know when that new song drops.
Cool, and we're also going to play a song now by Flight Club into the episode, a little bit of it.
Yeah, you want to introduce the song?
Yeah, so this is our most recent song. It's called See You Next Tuesday. It's about karaoke at Sticky Rice.
Woo!
That thought until tomorrow, it's the same damn thing, so I guess I borrow cash from myself in my world throughout the world.
I love that one.
That was so good.
One last question before we end this segment.
Bonus.
How did you come up with the name?
Oh, that's such
You know what? Question. This is the best worst question, actually. And not because it's a bad question, it's because the person in the band who came up with the name is no longer in the band.
Oh,
and
he's a flight risk.
Great friend of ours, Tony, original drummer, love him. It's just they were going to a show one night, and he said, yo, what about Flight Club?
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so Flight Club was written on that CD, and Flight Club, it has remained. And it's one of these things where it's not a bad name by any means. It's just hard to find because of the shoe store and because of the everyone thinks it's Fight Club.
I do have to say, there's been times where I type in something wrong on Google and it takes me to something I've never heard about. And I'm like, oh, so I'm sure people type in Fight Club or they want to and they end up doing Flight and they find you.
Yeah, hey. Maybe either way. Yeah.
Best mistake of their life.
Right. Join the club. Big Fat Rock.
Well, thank you guys again for joining us. We'll see you in May out and about around town.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
And now a word from our sponsor. Check out Maya's Belly Dancing, located at 10049 Midlothian Turnpike, Suite H. She offers an array of classes for all levels of experience, from beginner to advanced. You can find the class schedule at mayasbellydancing.com and be sure to follow her on Instagram and Facebook as well at Maya's Belly Dancing.
Big Daddy is gonna drop it on us.
All right, guys. Today's topic is about two artists making headlines from the latest Coachella Festival that happened April 12th to the 14th. And of course, Coachella is a yearly festival that takes place in Indio, California, in the Coachella Valley.
Near my daddy's house.
This year,
not no mo.
It featured headliners such as Lana Del Rey, Tyler, the Creator, Doja Cat, and No Doubt. And so first, I'm going to talk about a band named Blur. Do you guys remember them?
I kind of,
back in the 90s.
Yeah, song 2?
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah.
What was the song? I think I've
So they're famous for Girls and Boys, Park Life, and Song 2.
Song 2 rocks. I've been trying to
where they're like,
for so long.
Where they're like, woohoo!
That hockey song. I know it from hockey games.
So they played the first weekend of Coachella, and during the performance of Girls and Boys, the lead singer tried to lead a sing-along that was met with complete silence. And so the lead singer's name is Damon Albarn, and he eventually told the crowd, "You're never going to see us again, so you might as well fucking sing it." You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God.
So did they?
No, nobody gave a fuck about the song, and they were very disappointed. And so Song 2, when they played it, it was met with a better reception. However, the singer noted that on TikTok, there's a video where the wahoo is replaced with a vacuum cleaner. They start and stop of a Hoover. That just sounds like
that's
it.
That's my last name, though.
Fucked up.
And he said, "It's humbling and inspiring at the same time."
How is it inspiring? But okay.
Anyway, social media is divided about the performance. Diehard fans, of course, support the band. However, others question the appropriateness of booking the band. Is the band too dated for the Coachella Festival? That's kind of the question here.
I mean, they came out at the same time as No Doubt. So.
Yeah, but they weren't anywhere as big as No Doubt, I don't.
And so anyway, one thing worth noting is in 2022, the lead singer got into a controversy with Taylor Swift.
I mean, no,
not Tay-Tay.
Who doesn't these days? It's when he suggested in an interview that she did not write all of her songs, and she got into a big tizzy about that.
Not a tizzy.
Oh, my. And so next up, and so the other artist that's been making headlines is Grimes. And
oh, I like
so
her.
I love
Grimes. Is known for her synth pop, sci-fi, electronic music style, and of course her relationship with Elon Musk.
Children R2-D2 or whatever, like,
yeah,
like Z squared or some
it's,
shit.
Yeah, named after a helicopter or something. I don't even know.
Helicopter.
And so she was one of the most talked about acts of Coachella, but not for good reasons. And that's because she experienced multiple technical difficulties on stage where songs were double the tempo. And so you can imagine.
She was lip-syncing that shit.
And so she had to restart several of the songs. And during the set, she was seen screaming and yelling expletives as she attempted to remedy the situation. She claims that the technical issues were due to outsourcing the organization of the tracks on an SD card.
Whoa.
And eventually the artist issued an apology on X stating, if you want it done right, do it yourself, and that everything would be flawless the next performance. And so
if
that,
she has one. No, I'm just kidding.
No, she will. She's
she
great.
Will. I know, yeah, but I'm saying it just takes one bench. Fuck you.
I think she'll rise above this.
And, sometimes it gets you more attention.
Exactly. And so that concludes Drop It On Us, Big Daddy.
Thanks, Big Daddy.
Thank you. You guys have anything to add? Anything about Grimes or Blur?
Taylor Swift?
It's a stressful situation. T-Swift? So we're seeing like someone like that who's like all pop music. It's all like backtracked really and everything. Just like, it's literally the only thing that can go wrong. So like having it in random people's hands, and it does go wrong.
Could you imagine something that's like double the tempo? How do you recover?
But I also think it's crazy that like Milli Vanilli got canceled, and it's kind of the same thing.
All right, shall we talk about upcoming events?
Oh yes,
I think we shall. So we have coming up next week, Spring Blooms and Brews on April 26th. 6 p.m. at Benchtop Brewing in Manchester. They'll provide the gorgeous flowers. Nothing wilted in this bunch.
Gorgeous.
And demonstrate how to make a beautiful flower arrangement. Then you'll make one yourself, if you can.
$49.99.
If you dare. Yes, $49.99. Which I think is actually not bad for like fresh cut flowers if you had an event or something going on after that. Also, we have this weekend Pop-Up RVA at the Diamond. It is a big market they're having every Saturday. I think they do it pretty much all through the summer. Yeah. And it's free, y'all. It features 50 to 70 local vendors, music, food, and a margarita bar.
Ooh, I'm going.
Yeah, and much, much more. So check it out. Also, Harry's Friend of Show at the Hoff. They're having a sip and sleigh brunch on the 27th and on the 11th of May. Tickets are $20. It's from 11 to 3. Go out there and support those drag queens.
On April 27th, Shakespeare's birthday celebration of the Bard is happening at Agecroft Manor from noon to 5. There's going to be songs and games, and it's all Shakespeare themed, and that sounds really fun and kind of nerdy like us.
That's right. All right. Shall we move on to the restaurants of the week?
We shall. I'm going to talk about a restaurant that Liz and I had a happy hour recently with our friend Ashley. We've been there multiple times.
Also the site of an old, dirty bookstore.
Oh, yes. It's not a porn shop anymore.
There might have been a glory hole there. Just saying.
Might have?
I didn't experience it. But
did you see the glory
hole? Knowing some older generations, I've heard stories and whispers, the rumors. Yes.
We need names.
Well, I'll give you one. Ensu Boca is the place I'm talking about. They are open from 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. every day, which is nuts.
That's
so
really late.
If you find yourself hungry in Richmond and everything is closed, go to Ensu Boca. The food, the drinks, the service, and the atmosphere are amazing. We had a great experience recently. They have a great happy hour from 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, where house margaritas are $7.50. Rails are $5.50. And there's $1 off of beer and wine. And then they have a happiest of all hours, which is Monday through Thursday, 5 to 6. So it's 1 hour only. And you can take an additional dollar off of all of this.
Wow, a whole dollar.
That's how I forgot my name on Monday. Yeah.
Same. I do crazy shit. Okay, for a drink, I recommend the house margarita with salt, and I recommend you take advantage of the happy hour. For an app, get the Happy Hour Boca Trio. It's huge. There's a whopping pile of chips with different salsas and guac and queso. It's literally humongous, and I took half of it home. It's delicious, and it will leave you full, but if you're not full from that, which is crazy,
get
one of their burrito bowls.
It was a burrito hole, not a glory hole, just for
I love a burrito hole. Well, my restaurant of the week, nice segue,
burrito hole
is the Answer Brew Pub, 6008 West Broad Street.
One of my favorites.
Yes. As you know, they're affiliated with Mekong, or maybe you don't, but you should. They are amazing brewery, but they also have phenomenal Vietnamese food.
Amen.
So when I go there, I like to start off with a little salt and pepper calamari, or maybe a little sweet and spicy fish sauce with blue cheese. Beer then, cheese, I mean, not blue cheese.
And they have an excellent banh mi, and the beef jerky is delicious, too.
Oh, my God.
Too.
Well, the next thing I was going to say is, for your main course, order the banh mi. It's on freshly baked bread, served with cilantro, jalapeno cream, pickled carrot, and daikon. And then, you know, you can get some shrimp chips, which their shrimp chips are the bomb, if you like that.
I've never even heard of
them. And fries. But if you're not into that shit, then I would say get the grilled pork banh mi, which is like their hangover cure, which has grilled pork, bacon, two sunny side eggs on it.
Which, good to know.
It soaks up all that nastiness from the night before. And then I recommend you end that with a nightingale ice cream sandwich.
Ooh,
that's good.
Don't yes, maybe the me. Elvis. I love that one. That's
that
the,
one is really good.
Oh my God, I so love that, bananas.
That's
and
peanut butter and banana.
Yeah, baby. Mm-hmm.
I'm hungry.
Get in my belly.
Damn, that sounds real good. I know where I'm going for this.
I know.
To get them to carry the nightingales at the bar that I work at now.
Ooh, where do you work now?
I'm at Black Lodge.
Oh, I love. I've been
shout out to Black Lodge.
Come get some late night wieners.
I want that wiener tower.
Glory
really
hole.
Bad.
Tower of power.
I need it.
It's no joke.
In my life.
It's a whole lot of food.
Well, we might come in. Are y'all going to join us?
Let's do it.
Regardless.
All right, good. Good, good,
I'm
good,
working.
Good.
We're going to take down the wiener tower.
We're going to eat a wiener tower. And then should you want a nice little beer when you're at the answer, I recommend right now on draft, they have an orange creamsicle. Holy
oh,
fuck.
It's so
which is
good.
8.5%. It's a special double dipper that they have, I believe.
It's so good.
Or no, I'm sorry, IPA. And then if you're into something a little darker, I would recommend the barrel-aged Broken Bird Imperial Stout with toasted coconut. But don't drink too many because that's 13% and you'll
Jesus.
Probably die.
Yeah, they have very strong beers there.
Let's have one of each of those and I'll be set, man.
For reals.
I'm gonna go to band practice after this, but I think...
Liz, quickly talk about Positively Delicious. An amazing event coming up, people.
Yes, it's coming up on May 18th. Early bird tickets are $125 a piece, but let me tell you what you get with that. You get, like, unlimited alcohol. Beth Dixon will be slinging cocktails. We have an amazing sommelier there who was just voted the number one, like, sommelier in the country, as I said last time. All of the food is amazing. You have Jason Alley there curating stuff. Positive Vibe Foundation provides pre-employment training, job skills, and community to young adults with disabilities. So please buy your tickets now. I went last year. The event is amazing. Olivia and I are going this year. You'll see us there. Get to hang out. The cocktails, the wine, the
oyster
beer,
bar.
The food. There is going to be an oyster bar this year. There's going to be lots of good stuff. I don't know if y'all have checked out Stanley's, but like some good subs. What are we talking about, yo? We got some good shit up there to soak up the alcohol and support a good cause.
Hell yeah. That's so, what it's all about.
Come on yeah. out. Come on out.
All right. I think that's it. I think just some shout outs.
Yes.
Flight Club, would you like to shout out anybody?
Hey, oh la la. Thank you for having us.
Aww.
No, absolutely.
You're so
yeah.
sweet.
Shout out to Flight Club. Thanks for coming.
Who's also the band of the week, yeah. by the way.
Woo!
And like we said, go to their socials. Check out where they're playing next. They're amazing.
Yeah,
we love
so good.
Them.
Fun to watch, too.
So
you put on a good show.
We're also shouting out, what was your restaurant of the week, Dan?
Oh, yeah, and Suboka. Shout out to them. Shout out to the service. I forgot our waiter's name, but he was incredible.
He was great. He got cut early, but he was so cute. Yeah. And who else?
Who else did we talk about? Shout out to Erin in the Wildfire. I think she came up a few times. Shout out to, what's your restaurant?
Mine was the answer. Yep. So also shout out to Mekong because they're partnered together. Shout out to
Grimes.
Yep. Grimes.
Elon Musk.
Blur.
And I think that's it.
All right. Oh, I've got a shout out.
Shout out.
Yeah, so I want to shout out Mama J's, and that's for winning the Times Dispatch Best Fried Chicken Competition out of 15 competitors. And so, yes, so this was in the article I read that UCrops actually sent them a cake as congratulations.
That's
so
cute.
Aww.
Yeah, so yeah, I'd really want to go to Mama J's sometime just to try it out.
We gotta go
maybe Saturday
next week.
Actually, random shout out, restaurant called Jufro.
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah, we want to go there.
Got all their, like, basically their entire bar of liquor stolen. Got a bunch of stuff stolen from them, but they're staying strong. They're not closing down like a lot of people would, I think, in that situation. And just calling it quits, they're opening again. And if you got time, go see them because it's going to help them a ton.
I totally agree with that. They're right down the street. They're at the old building where Julep's was years ago in the market. One of the oldest buildings in the market in downtown Richmond. They serve amazing food, and it's just so fucked up that someone came in and stole everything from them. And we need to raise them up, people. Come on, Richmond. Let's get together.
Community. It's what it's all about. The podcast.
Like, they have plenty of reservations, and Restaurant Week is coming up next week. I also know they have a big Passover dinner coming up that I think they're still taking orders for. So please check them out. Like, they need all the help they can get. Let's support our community, people. All right. Well, next time, Michelle Jones from Positive Vibe will be here talking about the foundation. So if you haven't bought your tickets yet, you can learn more about it, bitches. But you best buy them.
And in the meantime, make sure to follow us.
Give us some likes.
Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. It's all Olala RVA.
As always, comment on the episode. What did you like and what didn't you like? We want to hear the bad and the good. I think that's a wrap, guys.
All right. All right, see you next time.
All right, bye.
Love you.
Bye.